more than 1 million people have recovered in AA. Most of them just as hopefully addicted to alcohol as we were to drugs. We are grateful to AA. We are grateful to the AA Fellowship for showing us to this way of life. The 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous is adapted from an AA and the basic of recovery program. We have only broadened their perspective. We follow the same path for the single exception. Our identification as addicts is all inclusive in respect to any mood changing, mind altering substance. Alcoholism is too much limit term for us. Our program is not a specific substance. It is a disease called addiction. We believe that as a fellowship, we have been guided by a greater consciousness and are grateful for the directions that has enabled us to build upon an already proven program of recovery.
Thank you. Okay. At this time, I would like to introduce our first speaker, George W., Brooklyn, New York. And honest self-assessment. Tell the truth. That's all I know how to do. Thank God I'm clean today. I'm George. I'm an addict. I want to take a moment, right, just to thank God. You know, I was at a meeting last night, and a young lady shared, after the speaker shared, she came up and said a few words, and she said, "I wonder how it feels to be up here," right? And I just want to share for a moment, right, what that feels like on a lot of days. And depending on where you are spiritually, right, this can be the most rewarding and fulfilling thing that you can do in this program. But it could also be a very dangerous thing, depending on where we are. This is not to be played with. When you come up here, there's a responsibility. It doesn't make us any better or bigger than anybody else, but there's a responsibility to kind of have an idea what you're talking about, to know how to keep things on you and not tell everybody else what they should be doing, right? You know? And I just wanted to kind of clear that up, right? You know, because when I come up here, the nervousness, right? And not that I'm afraid. I went in crack spots and dope spots and shot dope and put money in holes and went through alleys and backyards. I ain't scared. That ain't it, you know? But you know, it can be a little nerve-wracking when you get a responsibility and still the low self-esteem kicks in and says, "You cannot deliver." I ask God to raise them up and to diminish me. I'm feeling real grateful. Real, real grateful, man. When I got here, hold on. Let me do this. Because one of the things about these ego-inflating experiences, right, like this mic, sometimes we forget to do what we're supposed to do. So, newcomer, I want to welcome you. There's some people in here, all y'all ain't got a whole lot of time. Some of us ain't telling. We want a lot of time. But at some point, you'll get it if you just stay clean a day at a time. Right? I'm glad you're here. I want you to know that you're the most important person in this and any Narcotics Anonymous meeting. Because, yeah, it's a convention, but this is a meeting. We have one message in Narcotics Anonymous, a message of hope, promise of freedom from active addiction. Any addict, especially the one that's unsure, any addict can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. When I came into Narcotics Anonymous, I was hoping that all I had to do was just stay clean. And that's good for a minute. I'm one of these guys, right? I came around the first time in 87, and at that point, people talked about wishing you a slow recovery, right? They said, take your time. First of all, learn how to stay clean. See, I wanted 10 years with no time at all. I wanted to share like Shakespeare. I wanted to have what you had. I liked the glitz and the glamour, the jewelry, the gold, all that stuff. And most of all, and I couldn't say it, but I liked the fact that you guys were smiling. I hated you, motherfucker. I did, man. Because I wasn't happy. I didn't find nothing to smile about. I was in the grip of a continuous and progressive illness whose ends are always the same, jails, institution, and death. But if you don't do nothing, you don't get nothing. Old timer said, newcomer, we're going to ask you for 90 minutes and 90 days. And the guys in the front row, some of these guys know me, and my story don't change. Because this is not an Apollo performance, right? 90 minutes and 90 days. You don't have to offer in 90 days. You can go outside these doors and have your misery refunded. Now just imagine being a newcomer and ambivalent or on the fence about whether you want to stay clean or not. And they talking that outside and have your misery refunded. That sounded like some cruel shit to me, right? Reality check though, right? I made the decision that relapse or using again or continue to use is never an accident. And I went back out, and sure enough, my misery was refunded. There's something about a thoroughly whipped ass, right, that will open you up to all kinds of suggestions, right? Yeah. So I came back in with half an ass cheek, right? I went to a small meeting because, you know, we're talking about, they say addicts live, have phony images, right? I came in off my Thursday bed, and I had three hots in the cot. I mean, to my regular meals. You know, when you had, when I was out there, there was no regular meals, right? There was like the extra bagels from the bakery, and you know whatever was left over. Every now and then, I might get a little something in, but for the most part, I lived to use and used to live. So in jail, I had three hots in the cot. A step up from where I came from. It wasn't an abandoned building. You know, all I had to do was follow some instructions. I got into the weight room and I lifted some weights. And I got my body in order, you know what I mean? You know, not that in order, but you know, I'm a legend in my own mind, you know? You know, of course, you know, you pump a few weights to think you're Adonis, you know what I mean? But I remember, I looked at a picture, man, when I first came home. It wasn't pretty, man, you know? But I remember how I felt when I came in. All that image and ego and stuff that I used out in the street to protect me, not really from you, but from me, all that image and ego I brought right here in these rooms. And it almost rocked me to sleep again. So let me speak to the gangsters that's in here, right? We love you too, man, and we understand. Yo, we understand. I come from a place where I was always a gangster in my mind. But the fear was so deeply rooted, man. You know, I'm talking about even kind of masking with the drugs. I knew what it really was, but I couldn't let you know. And I would do anything in my power to protect that secret. I went to a small home group. And the women were prevalent in that meeting. There was a lot of women with clean time. Because I didn't want to go in big meetings because my mind said that these dudes is going to say some shit to me, I'm going to have to do something to them. You know what I mean? I didn't have that in me no more, man. That was gone. But I went in the meetings, man, and the young lady said soft stuff. They spoke to me softly. They said, baby, it's going to be all right. Sit down, honey, have a cup of coffee. There was something special, something nurturing about that. In that home group, they put me in service real early. Because I'm going somewhere with this, right? You know, they said, listen, we want you to stay clean. They didn't take the basic text and all these, but we didn't have a lot of stuff back then anyway, right? But they didn't make me get into all this so quick. They said, you need to learn how to stay clean. Because when I came in, I was able to share a bit of my story, and I use on a regular basis. They said, we want you to sit down. Because they knew I wanted to memorize the basic text so I could share verses, pages, and all that stuff. They knew I wanted to do that. They said, sit down. And they gave me pamphlets, and they gave me a little white book, man. And they walked me through it slowly, but surely, man. You know what I mean? Got me involved with service. I was a GSR with 6-7 months clean. You know what I mean? They said, go down there and don't say nothing. Get a pen and a paper, take notes and bring it back to us.
Yeah.
And I learned. Honest self-assessment. If you asked me when I first came in who I was, I'd give you a story of somebody that I don't even recognize. Right? I had no idea. This topic is talking about like fourth, fifth step stuff. It's talking about digging into your gut and find out who you really are, right? If you help the representative, if you share the representative, we only help the representative. You want the real help, let us know who you are. That's why I was talking to my gangster friends, because I'm one of them old gangsters in my mind, you know? Let us know how you really feeling, man. Because if you're in here, we already know. It ain't no more front. The front is done. When you walk in these doors, we know already. You know, I work in the facility. You got people, they talk all this stuff like they got all this stuff outside. I ain't got to be here. I'll pack my stuff and leave. And I'm like, yeah. All right. Okay. Go ahead and pack. Well, I changed my mind, but next time, you know. Right? We already know what you mean. Oh, man. So, some steps prior to that, right, got me ready, right? And let me tell you something. There was a lot of hurt and pain prior to really find out who I was. You know how you feel pain and you deny it? You know how you feel fear and you deny it? You know how that feels to have to front every single day? So newcomer, we come in here, it don't change overnight. Sometimes it appears that way because we hear people with not a lot of time and they're all right already. I don't know. I wasn't all right already. I wasn't. There was a process that I had to go through. I came here, I was broken, man. Grace of God, God's mercy. You go through some of the steps and you start to find out some stuff, you know? They said, get honest about your using. Told me to surrender, not to the program, that said surrender to the disease of addiction. Surrender to your disease. Stop fighting that thing, man. You in the ring with Mike Tyson and you keep trying to beat him. You ain't gonna win. Put the gloves down, sit down, lay down, do something. You know what I mean? Lord have mercy. I mean, when you go, we tired of seeing you getting your ass whipped. You know what I mean? You know? So we get honest about that stuff. And in that, in my story, there was still some fabrication because even when I'm talking about my using and how it went down, it ain't really going down that way because, you know, we all want to sound good. Right? So you move forward, and then it says, you know, where my stuff at, man? Oh, my God. See, and I didn't bring my book today, right? Because I prayed, and I believe that sometime I can get caught up in reading as opposed to letting y'all know who I am. I got 25 minutes to let y'all know what happened to me. And everybody in here ain't going to understand what I'm talking about, right? But there's going to be one somebody, and I know that. I'm clear, right? You know, but a second step came to believe in the power of bringing ourselves from stores to sanity and what happened, man. In my second step experience, man, I was going through a lot of stuff, man. I came in here 89 before I got here diagnosed with the HIV virus, and I always share that. And I'm glad that my friends and people that know me don't judge what I share because your story really shouldn't change that much. You know, we do remember some stuff and it comes up, but that's my story. I was hurt. My friends were dying. I was scared. And I was wearing the fear on my face. It was no longer denying, man, that I was afraid. You know, I said, man, when I die, put that stuff in my casket and, you know, don't cry for me and all that stuff. And, you know, and I said, I'd rather die than use, and I probably did. But when I was faced with the time that I could die, I realized I wanted to live more than I wanted to die. And I came in here, And there were some heroes, as we see miracles and coincidences happening in our lives. Acceptance becomes trust. I didn't like God because he did this. It was always somebody. It was never me. I didn't like him. How dare you give me this virus? How dare you? I'm getting myself, I'm getting myself clean. That's what I thought. How dare you do this to me? And I came in, they said simple stuff like, why not you? There were some heroes, man, in here that I watched. And I had to get to a place in the third step where I trusted in God. Where I made a decision that I did not know what I was doing, man. I'm in meetings, man, welcoming a newcomer. I'm helping everybody. But I'm home making love to my wife with the virus and didn't tell her. My girlfriend. Conflict. Fourth step talks about sort through the contradiction and confusion of our lives. And yeah, we got to go back. But that go back stuff comes right to today. It don't go nowhere because we get clean. So I had to go through that experience, man, you know. And I don't want to get into that whole thing with that, but I just want to let you know how good God is, right? I want to let you know the fear went away because God showed up in a big way in my second and third step. The woman found out. She got pregnant. All I thought that she would say, which would be, get out, you dirty, stinking scoundrel. So that's how I felt anyway. But something happened, newcomer, right? When you get here, our job is to shine you up. And I say this all the time. We fan the flame in you because we see something that you don't see yet. And when we get finished shining you up, and we ain't doing it, we just vessels that God used to bring you something. You know, and when you get shined up and become attractive, you're the most beautiful thing in the whole wide world. The fourth step is about making the inside match the outside. You understand? So there were some things that had been happening, and my girlfriend saw that, you know, the God would do bubble baths and rose petals and stuff that, listen, you don't learn that in the crack house, right? You know what I'm saying? I came here and I heard y'all talking about it. And she respected that guy. So she didn't say get out. She said, baby, take care of yourself. Beyond my wildest dreams. Saw my daughter be born. The guilt and shame is gone. Because there's been some work that's been done. And I've been able to be a present father. My daughter is not positive. My girlfriend, who is my wife of 21 years, is not positive. We're talking about how good God is, right? So after all the destruction from out there, the destruction in here, I had to get to a place where I need to get help for the real me. Would the real me please stand up? Stand up and find your place in this world. Let us know exactly who you are, what you're about. Let us help you. Let us love you till you learn to love yourself. Because a lot of times it ain't love like we think it is. Yeah, we say we love ourselves. Let me talk about me. I say I love myself. So I come in here with the virus, but I wind up with diabetes and high blood pressure. And you know, and my best thinking said, when the doctor said, well, you know, you're borderline. Let me just explain this to y'all, right? It ain't no goddamn borderline, right? No. If you're borderline, you're already fucked up. You know what I mean? Uh-oh. Okay. All right. Listen, you know, we really don't need no lights, right? A whole lot of us identify with that shit. So I lost my train of thought a little bit, but. Huh? Oh, yeah, borderline. Right. Look. Look, somebody listening, Jack, right? So my best thinker said, you don't want to take that blood pressure medication because my image said, you know how good you are in the sack.
Yeah.
But look, ain't nobody told me that. That's what I said, right? So you don't want the erectile dysfunctional problems, you know what I mean? So I would rather, the literature talks about, would I ask for a fatal heart attack? And I would rather than not to be able to perform because I still don't know who I am. I still want to please you and hurt me. I still want to make you happy and make me miserable. You understand? I still want to do that. Diabetes, man, sneaking around with little Debbie's. Like a thief in the night. Right? Who does that? Right? So look, the doctor said you're borderline diabetic. Once again, there's no borderline, And when I thought that I could eat what I wanted to eat, man, you know what I mean? And I remember that unquenchable thirst. I remember that day when I was peeing and couldn't make it to the bathroom. I'm talking about made it to the sink, couldn't get to the toilet. Peed on myself. I'm talking about bad, but just don't want to go to the doctor. Look, we talk about an honest self-assessment. Look, I've always did things to destroy myself. And it don't change in recovery just because we get clean. Sometimes all the stuff we know is more damaging than what we don't know. In the beginning, I know I was very, very humble, open for a lot of stuff. But don't get a couple of steps and traditions and concepts under your belt. You done spoke at a couple of conventions, you know what I mean? And I watch our members die. A few of them that I love. Because they couldn't put the fucking little Debbies down. With clean time. Didn't matter that, I'm blind. And I'm talking about this person because this is family. We grew up. I watched them. We was in the same house. We drank, top shelf together before it got bad. Right? And we're losing people because I need to take a look at me. I was sharing the meeting one day. I was sitting in the meeting and we was in a Journey Continues meeting. We were sharing about something. And all of a sudden, I don't think it was all off topic. I shared from the floor and I said, I feel fat. Now, I don't know where that came from, right? But God made me say what I need to say. And as a result of that happening, me losing my baby brother, February 9th, based on unhealthy eating habits, unhealthy going to the doctor habits, I lost him unexpectedly, and I'm still grieving that. I'm still sore about that, but we don't use no matter what. But as a result of that, I'm doing some things different in my life. I brought a busload of people down, and we do this every year, right? And something told us, man, during the ride, we played Biggie Smalls. Everybody bopping and, the old gangsters was back again, you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, we were on and popping, right? But I watched them when they got off the bus. Lord have mercy. Woo, it was not pretty. Bones cracking, knees kicking. Groaning, moaning, and we just coming down off of one or two steps. Right? I need to be clear about who I am. Not that old person who I thought I was, right? The things that I do today are so much different from what I did before. The next topic is talking about my gratitude speaks, and my gratitude speaks, man. Sometimes when you're doing what you need to do in this program and doing the right thing, people may not like your personality. They may say, why are you always sharing this? Why are you always sharing that? No? Hold up. Am I done, Carlton?
No.
Oh, okay. Right. We might not understand what somebody else is sharing. We may not understand that. But if you stick around here long enough, man, it may hit you right where you need it. See, when I share about the virus, right, some people say, I heard it all. They say, listen, man, they told us it was an outside issue. But there were some people here that had courage. And they said, no, people that, that know the literature a little bit and say, no, 10th tradition. Anything that affects your recovery is sharing material. Anything. That temp tradition is real deep too, but I ain't gonna get into that. We ain't gonna, see, y'all go support the tradition meeting, right? Because you know when you go in the tradition meeting, there's only one or two people in there, right? You know, and we all want to do service, and we go in there and we start all kinds of shit because we don't know. You know, traditions are the meat and potatoes in this program. So anyway, I'm getting to know who I am. I'm getting to embrace who I am. My sponsor says to me, we have to learn to accept our limitations. I ain't that guy no more, man. It's ridiculous some of the things that I will do after knowing who I am. You know, listen, I was a good basketball player. Definitive word is was, right? So I go down to the convention, and I'm going to hit the gym. I hit the gym, you know? I hit the gym, and you know, and then I saw behind the class there was a gymnasium with basketballs, man. I was like, wow, something told me I was back in the 1980s something, right? So I go up there like Earl the Pearl. You know how we always do that little hair like this. Like you're going to get your ball and do like, man, I grabbed that ball and ran down the court when I was about to die, right? Holy cow. Then, you know, I'm talking about air ball after air ball. I ain't hitting nothing, right? It was gone, y'all, and I should have stopped there. But something told me, they said, we did a sub on the court. I go running in like I just came in, like I'm Michael Jordan or somebody. Let me tell you something. When I got finished, it was so embarrassing. I mean, I ran down the court one time. The guy got a fast break going back down. I got my man down the court. You know, he's trying to help. I was like do two people like the, you know, to, and I'm standing down the court like this. You know? And he's like, yo, come on, what are you going to do? You know? Let me tell you something. I have to know exactly who I am, right? I just want to say this, man, because I want to give my brother some time. I want to thank you too, Thaddeus, man, for praying with me before this happened, because I hope there's somebody in here today, right? That person that's here that, you know, still thinks that there's somebody else, man. Give yourself an opportunity, right, to get to know the real you. The fourth step is not a step that you have to be afraid of, you know? You already know that other guy. You already know that guy. That's a person that was out of control, you couldn't do anything with. But check it out. The person that you're going to meet, you will be surprised. You can learn to love that person. Listen, I don't walk around with guns or knives or grill face all the time. I grin and I smile. And I don't worry. My thinking always said, if I act like that, somebody's going to get me. I'm going to be a victim. But people like new people. They like good people. They like nice people. Right? So I stay away from people that act like that. You know what I mean? I know me enough to know that I'm that guy that don't like to get involved with stuff. But I have a situation recently where I got involved with one of our members, and I was really ready to go at him. And this is a guy that knocks people out and all that stuff, and I didn't care. Because I got a part of me that doesn't like to be attacked. But when I looked at the whole picture, because I know me, the reason why we got into that altercation is because he hurt my feelings, right? And because I judged him. Because he was doing things to me that I didn't appreciate. And instead of me going up to him like a man and saying, I don't think you should be doing that, I judged him from afar. And when the time came for us to have an altercation, I was ready to go to war. Now, I told you what happened on the basketball court, right? Listen, man, if you're new here, I want to welcome you to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, like I said, this is a wonderful place to be. This is a great day to be clean. Thanks for letting me share.